The epistle for today's Mass, the Sunday within the octave of the Ascension, is from the first epistle of St. Peter, chapter 4. Dearly beloved, be prudent and watch in prayers, but before all things, have a constant mutual charity among yourselves. For charity covereth a multitude of sins, using hospitality one towards another without murmuring, as every man hath received grace, ministering the same one to another, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If any man speak, let him speak as the words of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the power with which God administereth, that in all things God may be honored through Jesus Christ our Lord. And the Gospel from St. John, chapter 15. At that time, Jesus said to his disciples, "When the Paraclete cometh, whom I will send you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceedeth from the Father, he shall give testimony of me, and you shall give testimony, because you are with me from the beginning. These things I have spoken to you, that you may not be scandalized. They will put you out of the synagogues. Yea, the hour cometh that whosoever killeth you will think that he doth his service to God. And these things they will do to you, because they have not known the Father, nor me. But these things I have told you, that when the hour shall come, you may remember that I told you." Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. Before all things, have a constant mutual charity among yourselves, for charity covereth a multitude of sins. Words taken from the epistle. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Over 100 years ago, Father De Foresta was preaching in one of the churches in the city of Lyon in France. He noticed a young woman kneeling before the altar of Our Lady, and seemingly in great affliction. When the sermon was ended and devotions were over, the people all left, except for the young woman, still kneeling motionless before the altar. Father approached her and asked her what was the cause of her sorrow. "Alas, Father," she said, "God alone can give me consolation, for he alone can change the hearts of men." "This is indeed true," the priest said, "but perhaps I, his servant, might be able to help you in your distress." "May God reward you, Father," she answered. "Know then that the two persons who are most dear to me in this world live at enmity with God. My father and my brother are free thinkers and hate everything to do with religion. I unceasingly implore the Most Holy Mother of God to obtain for me their conversion, but my unworthiness does not merit this favor from her." And the priest answered, "You are praying for them, my child, and in this you are doing well. But that is not enough. You must add something else to your prayers. Have you ever gently asked them to accompany you to the house of God, to assist with you at some splendid ceremony, or to be present at benediction of the Most Blessed Sacrament?" "Oh, Father, if I even dared to refer to these things, it would only be the cause of greater anger." "Believe me, my child," continued the priest, "join this good work to your prayers, and fear not their angry words. Moreover, there's a certain manner of speaking that does not provoke irritation and cannot give cause to displeasure. Charity can find words which dispel every feeling of animosity. And even if those words should not be well received at first, they will leave an impression which will produce fruit in due season." She followed this advice. That same day, she went to her little garden and cut her most beautiful flowers. She made a lovely bouquet. With a beautiful smile, she presented it to her father. And then she embraced him with more affection than she had ever done before. Her father, who loved her dearly, returned her embrace. And gazing on her sweet and innocent face, he was moved to tears by her affection for him. After a few moments, he said to her, No doubt, my little one, you have given me these beautiful flowers and embraced me so lovingly because you want me to give you some expensive jewelry or some new clothes. Ah, my dearest father, you are quite right, she answered. I do wish you to give me something, but something 1,000 times more precious than what you have spoken of, and which will also give me 1,000 times more pleasure. I want you this evening to come with me to benediction. On hearing this request, the man's face completely changed. How do you dare, he burst out, to propose such a thing to me? Such a request is an affront which no words can describe. And he continued for some time to angrily pour out his resentment. The whole household became alarmed at his tirade and thought that something terrible must have happened. Her brother came running into the room, and learning what had taken place, that his sister had the audacity to ask her father to accompany him to an act of religious worship, he became so infuriated that he struck her a severe blow on the face. And in response to this abuse, she answered meekly, Julian, my brother, you may strike me again, and as often as you please, but you will never stop me from doing all in my power to save 2 souls who are more dear to me than anything in this world. Her words shocked them like a bucket of ice water over the head. They were speechless. The contrast was only too apparent between their arrogant pride and overinflated ego, anger and violence, their meanness, and her sincere interest in the good of their souls, her unselfish loyalty to God and to them, her gentleness, her forgiveness of injury, her patience, her charity. Accompanied by God's grace, her words touched them to the heart. Their passions were cooled, their obstinacy overcome. And without further hesitation, both the father and the brother agreed to go with her to benediction. And from that moment, a gradual change came over them. 2 months later, the both of them knelt before the priest in confession and were reconciled with God. And from then on, they led good Catholic lives. My dear faithful, last Thursday was Ascension Thursday. Our Lord and Savior ascended into heaven on that day. The apostles then returned to Jerusalem to wait for the coming of the Holy Ghost, as they had been instructed. They went to the cenacle, and there in a spirit of charity and peace, they waited and prayed. This harmony and mutual charity was a necessary preparation for them to receive the Holy Ghost. For as one author points out, the Holy Ghost lives only in pure and peaceful souls. And during these 9 days between Ascension and Pentecost, the Church would have us as well unite with the apostles in spirit. In today's epistle, St. Peter insists, have constant mutual charity among yourselves. You see, God lives in the soul by sanctifying grace. Grace makes us holy. And if we wish to preserve this grace and ultimately save our souls, then we must cooperate with it. We must conform our actions to the life of God within us, that life within us by grace. We must be at peace with God and men. If we do not have charity in our thoughts, words, and deeds, then we harm or even destroy the life of grace in our souls. Mutual charity is so necessary that without it, we cannot be saved. Our very salvation depends upon charity. No wonder Christ called it the Great Commandment. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God, he says, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. This love is charity. Supernatural love is charity. And my dear faithful, God is charity. And to have a part with God, we must imitate his charity. Charity is a powerful virtue which is able to overcome obstinacy in other people, as we saw in the story of the woman who grieved over the bad state of her father and her brother, who were free thinkers, or as the term was used then, but as we more often know the term, they were Masons. We saw that it was by charity, forgiveness of insult, that their obstinacy was overcome, and they changed their way of life. Now, one of the first steps to practicing charity is to speak kindly, to hold the tongue. Now, to speak kindly means to avoid speaking to others in a harsh tone. When a disagreement arises, a kind word goes a long way. As Holy Scripture says, a mild answer breaketh wrath, but a harsh word stirreth up fury. If you are spoken to unkindly, harshly, and you respond in a harsh way, you will not overcome the harshness of the person who first spoke harshly. But if you speak gently, if you are patient, if you are forgiving, if you forgive an insult, that's a much more powerful way to influence others and to change their harshness. If the matter is trivial, if the matter of unkindness, when you are spoken to unkindly, is trivial, then one should give in graciously to the wishes or opinions of others. This will go a long way to establish peace and harmony. Be kind as well in your thoughts. Critical or negative thoughts should be regarded as temptations. Train yourselves to ignore the faults of others, to overlook them, to excuse them, to not dwell upon them, but to excuse them as you would like them to overlook and excuse your faults. Now, but as an exception, parents, of course, are not considered themselves bound to this rule. Parents must not overlook the faults of their children. They have a God-given obligation to correct them, and at times to firmly correct them, and to measure the level of correction to the severity of the offense. But when correction is given, it should always be given in with patience and without anger. In general, though, we should pray for others as often as we notice their faults. My dear faithful, charity, like any other virtue, is a habit. It is formed by practice and by repetition. You will acquire the habit of charity if you make constant effort to show kindness and goodwill to others, to treat everyone as if they were Christ. Our Lord tells us that what we do to others, we have done to him. He says, as long as you did it to one of these, my least brethren, you did it to me. Try then to see Christ, especially in the members of your family. And even when they do not act in a Christ-like manner, honor the one who lives within them. Honor God who dwells within the souls of your fellow members of your family. Honor the presence of God in their souls. Husbands and wives, be considerate of one another. Be gentle, forgiving, patient, and loving. In short, honor Christ by the way you treat your spouse, and God will bless you. Children, love and obey your parents as you would Jesus and Mary. This is what God wants you to do. Be kind to one another. Treat your brothers, your sisters, as you would treat the child Jesus if he were living with you. For he does tell us, it is a fact, that what we do to others, what you do to your brother or your sister, you are doing to Christ. And he will be forced, he will be compelled by necessity to either reward you or to punish you for the way you have treated your siblings, whether you have treated them kindly or unkindly. So remember that what you do to your brothers or sisters, you are doing to him. If you argue or fight, you are hurting our Lord. Be aware that he loves you dearly. He is your greatest friend. Try to see him in others, and it will help you to be kind to them. Do not criticize others, or mock them, or call them names. Speak kindly, or be silent. Try to be kind even in your thoughts. For the first step we make is to hold our tongue, to be careful what we say. The second step is to consider even our thoughts. If you find yourself thinking or noticing someone's fault, say a prayer for them. This is a way of practicing perfect charity. If you treat everyone with kindness, then when you get to heaven, you will see that everything you have done has been done to God, and you have honored him, or God forbid, dishonored him by the things you have done to others. If you have been unkind, you will face a stern judge, and you will pay for every smallest sin, every smallest offense, every smallest insult, every unkind word. But on the contrary, how happy you will be if you have made the effort to be kind. My dear faithful, make a serious effort to be gentle and forgiving. Make our Lord welcome in your home. Honor him in the other members of your family. Pray to him. Speak to him inside your own soul. Speak to him of all your needs. Be faithful to your prayers. Take the time for prayer that he expects of you. And give him your attention when you say your rosary. For when you do so, you are kneeling at his feet, giving him your attention, speaking to him. By this means, especially by family prayer, your family will become what it should be, a sanctuary of peace and harmony. That is one thing that the rosary helps to accomplish. It helps to unite the family in doing at least one thing each day in peace and harmony. Our Lord desires to share his love and his life with you. If you permit him, he will live among you by the grace of the Holy Ghost, dwelling in your souls. He will guide you and protect you and help you through all the trials of life. He will share your joys and your sorrows. And one day, as a reward of your charity, he will unite your family in that happy land above, where there is only peace, joy, and harmony. May God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.